Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, June 26. And if you've been following the World Cup, and if you're from Argentina, congratulations. Argentina qualified for the Sweet 16 or the Last 16 or whatever it was. It was pretty tight. The Argentinian team, I guess, made it at the last minute or so. But congratulations to our friends in Argentina. That was quite a victory. I had a chance to see the last 4 or 5 minutes of that game, and it was truly an exciting game because, you know, they had two games on at the same time, and based on one team was winning, it was very exciting. All I can say is congratulations to the good people of Argentina. That was that's a game that you'll celebrate, I think, for a long, long time. Today was also a big day for the Supreme Court. They issued really two big decisions, the travel ban and another free speech decision related to an abortion pregnancy in California. In both cases, I was very happy with the decision. We're also going to talk today a little bit about Maxine Waters, who I believe has become a real problem for the Democrat Party. The whole resistance has now become a real problem for the Democrat Party because this isn't a resistance that is rooted on just irrational hatred of Trump. And anything based on irrational hatred will eventually burn out and just destroy itself. You cannot continue to have this kind of irrational hatred against anybody. I don't care, Obama or Trump, whoever it may be. At some point, this irrational hatred will consume you, not the person you're going after, but will consume you. And I think that's what's starting to happen to the Democrats, and that's why I think so many of them are saying, hey, you got to slow down a bit, Maxine. You're killing us. You're killing us in the electoral arena. Let's talk a little bit about the Supreme Court. Two big decisions today. The first one, the travel ban. Now, this goes back a while, about a year or so ago. It was one of the first decisions that President Trump made when he first came in. And back then, it became very controversial. It seemed like every judge in San Francisco wanted to write an opinion against President Trump. So eventually worked its way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said today, 5-4, that the ban was upheld. I mean, it's okay. And I thought it was very interesting because Professor Alan Dershowitz, who is on Fox News, he's a real liberal guy, but he's an honest liberal. He said, look, I disagree with the ban, but it's totally constitutional. And that was the whole point of this. The people who were disagreeing with this ban were trying to say that it was unconstitutional, that the president didn't have the authority. Of course he had the authority. Of course it was constitutional. You can disagree with it, but that doesn't mean that it was unconstitutional. So the judges, 5-4, decided that it was, and this is a real victory, I think, for the Constitution and for presidential powers. And my guess is that future presidents are going to be very happy that the court ruled the way they did today, because these interventions on the part of, you know, you have a judge in San Francisco, a judge in God knows where, decides that he's going to stop the government from functioning because he doesn't like the president. Well, it's not a power that he has. I mean, the Supreme Court has that ability, but not some judge, you know, somewhere. They don't have that kind of authority. And what these liberal groups do is that they run to their favorite judge. They run to a judge and they say, here, stop it for me. Stop it for me. Give me some reason and stop it. And they stop these things. And then all they do is put him on a course to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court says, no, it's okay. So to me, it's just a great victory for common sense, if nothing else. And hopefully it'll be the end of these judges who, for whatever reason, decide that they have the authority to become the commander in chief. If they want to be commander in chief, they should run for president. But, you know, no judge in a Seattle courtroom or San Francisco, for some reason, these people are all on the West Coast. Have you noticed that? But anyway, none of these judges has the authority to run foreign policy. That's what the president does. He's the commander in chief. If you don't like him, well, nominate somebody who can beat him. Win in the arena of ideas, not by having judges do these things from the bench. So big victory, I think, for common sense. There was also another decision that they came out with today, And that was a decision having to do with an abortion pregnancy crisis center in California. And the court decided that the pregnancy center had the First Amendment right to tell a woman who's considering abortion that there are other options. It's not just abortion or contraception. There's other options that she should consider. And the government in California was challenging this, and the Supreme Court said basically, hey, this is a First Amendment issue, and that's what this is, and they have a right to say these things. I think it's a big victory for First Amendment, but it's also starting to show me that maybe this is a court, especially if President Trump can put another justice in the next couple of years, and I think there's a possibility that he will. And if he can replace one of those liberal judges with another conservative judge, I think there's a very good chance that Roe v. Wade comes down over the next few years. So if you're praying for the end of abortion, keep praying, because I think we're moving in the right direction. Again, this was not necessarily an abortion decision, but it was clearly a pro-life decision, and it was a good one. It was a good one. And obviously there will be some babies that will be saved by this Supreme Court decision. So two big decisions on the part of the Supreme Court today. The travel ban, excellent decision, and this one on abortion or pregnancy centers out of California. Two big ones, and we're very, very happy that those two decisions were made. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes, and then when we come back, I've got a few things about Maxine Waters that I want to tell you about.
This is Carlos Geddes Harpist. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we've got all of that on the show information. If you look under the show information or show description, right there you'll see a link underneath the description. You'll see a link to Carlos, and you can click on that and find out where he's playing around town. Before we get to Maxine Waters, I have a post coming out about Maxine Waters on Wednesday. Let me say happy number 44 to one of the greatest baseball players of all time, Derek Jeter, who retired at the end of 2014. This is one of the truly greats, and we were very fortunate to watch him play with the Yankees. He has 5 World Series rings. Not that many people who can say that. 5 World Series rings, truly one of the greatest baseball players, and he's only 44. I mean, that's the amazing thing. He's got a lot of life ahead of him. I understand he's the president of the Marlins, the Miami Marlins, and so he's in baseball, but in a administrative capacity. The great Derek Jeter, just an amazing player he was with the Yankees. And it was on this day in 1948 that the Berlin airlift began. And this was, of course, in reaction to the blockade of Berlin, of West Berlin, by the Soviet Union. And President Truman authorized the airlift. And for the next almost 15 months, American and then later British airplanes went over Berlin and dropped supplies, food. They even dropped fuel or coal so they could burn it into fuel in West Berlin. I mean, it was one of the most amazing military operations of all time, and also a tremendous humanitarian operation that clearly saved West Berlin. I mean, what the Soviets wanted to do was basically to destroy West Berlin, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it because of the leadership of President Truman and the amazing work of the pilots that flew those missions. And of course, out of that story came the story of the candy bombers, who were the pilots who would drop, among the supplies, they would drop candy for the children. What an amazing story that is. In my blog, I have a post about this today, and also a link to a book about the candy bombers that I think you'll enjoy reading. But not only a great humanitarian operation, but a tremendous military operation to sustain that kind of an airlift. And it was a dangerous airlift. I mean, look, they were flying. They were flying over occupied territory. I mean, they were flying over Soviet territory for part of the flight. So the Soviets could have shot them down. I don't think the Soviets wanted to start a war over this, especially once they realized how serious Truman was. But Nevertheless, it was risky, and it was carried out perfectly, and every one of those pilots deserves a lot of credit for this amazing, just totally amazing mission, the Berlin airlift that started today and went on for roughly almost a year. I think it went on to May of 1949, so just about a year that this thing was going on. Well, let's talk about Maxine Waters. This is, of course, the congresswoman from L.A. She represents a district there in metropolitan L.A., and she's become kind of the critic, if you will, of President Trump. Now, I don't have a problem with a member of Congress criticizing the president. That's fine. I mean, it doesn't do anything for me. I mean, I don't have to listen to what she has to say. But when you become just utterly reckless and irresponsible, as this woman is, I think something has to be done. And you're already seeing many Democrats who are basically just saying, Maxine, you got to cut this out. You're killing us. And the whole resistance, I think we may be at a turning point in this resistance against Trump, because it's no longer a resistance based on ideas. For example, when President Obama was in the White House, there were many, many state attorney generals and many Republican state legislature who opposed President Obama on issues like Obamacare, like DACA, and so on. But it was based on policy differences. It wasn't based on just the fact that they hated him. They probably didn't love the guy, but at least they were making a policy presentation when they opposed DACA or other things that the president was doing. But when you look at this resistance against President Trump, it's a resistance based on hatred. There's nothing else. There's nothing there. I mean, when you're a person like Maxine Waters, a representative of the United States, and you give a little rant to some of your supporters saying that if you see a member of the Trump cabinet filling a gasoline tank or at the shopping center, you know, confront them and she's almost encouraging her supporters and Democrats to confront these people, but potentially having a physical confrontation with some of these people. That is just crazy. That is just absolutely crazy, as well as dangerous, because you never know how people are going to react when they're confronted like that in public. Some people may take out a gun and shoot you because they feel threatened. So you don't want to get to that level, and I think that the Democrats need to somehow tell Maxine Waters to take a very long vacation, like until the end of the year, because Maxine Waters is the last thing that the Democratic Party wants. This is the last person in the world that the party wants to be representing them in this upcoming election. I don't think that Maxine Waters is going to play real well in Montana, North Dakota, Missouri, Indiana, and West Virginia, where the Democrats are defending those seats in very conservative states. I don't think Maxine Waters is going to play real well in suburbs or in many of those districts across the center of the country where the Democrats have to gain seats to get back the House. So she's not good for the Democrat Party, at least not the Maxine Waters that we've seen here recently. So I think the resistance is going to have to somehow get its act together and lower the volume a little bit, because right now the resistance is not winning. The resistance is not helping Democrats win elections. On the contrary, the resistance is simply turning out Republicans, as we're seeing in many of these primaries. Republican turnout is very excited, because I think a lot of Republicans want to send a message that they hate this kind of politics against President Trump. It's not necessarily that they love President Trump. Some of them do. But I think they hate what the Democrats are doing. And I would recommend on that score that you check out a great article by Roger Simon over at PJ Media. It's the very last one that he wrote, but it's about the resistance, basically saying these people are crazy and they're not helping the Democrat Party with what they're doing. The reality is they're not. And if they don't get their act together, they're going to cause all the Democrats to – it's going to be a very bad Tuesday night for the Democrats in November if they think that this is helping them, because it's not. It's actually hurting them a great deal. It's hurting them a great deal. Well, congratulations again to Argentina and to all the other teams who are qualifying for the 16. They have a few more to go before you get there, but I have some friends in Argentina, so they're pretty happy down there. The Pope Pope Francis is also from Argentina. I bet he had a lot of fun watching the game as well. Well, thank you very much. Have a wonderful day from very hot summer day here in Texas. But again, that's usually what we get in the summer here in Texas. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.